Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of MR2, Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. And yes, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I have to add, under Bill's prompting, it's another beautiful day in my rehabilitation. Hi, guys.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. We're so happy you're with us this morning. And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's very definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And another beautiful day because we're so happy with Paul's rehabbing going extraordinarily well because he's an extraordinary person. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, Y-O-U, Universal, because it's about you, prosperity.com.
Oh, my. And yes, it is easy for you to get to us and find all the resources we have available. Just go to ucfyp.com.
Yeah. And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my absolute word, where it's posted as my blog. You can also find out how to be on the email list for that. And where you'll find my calendar, all the things that I'm doing via Zoom around the country, my classes, my Sunday services, and the like. So we're going to call this a special edition of MR2. And Cher, take it away.
Yes, we're so happy. Those of your our regular listeners know that Reverend Paul has been away from us for a couple of weeks because he had an accident and he had a total hip replacement as a result of that. So he has been, that's the rehab he's talking about, just in case there was any question about.
Yeah, we're not talking about a rehab. Drug rehab or anything like that.
And we're just going to find out how he's doing now that he's back with us. And we're also going to just do a little review of how our spiritual practices can contribute to the healing process. And we're going to get a firsthand look at that through Paul's experiences. So we're just going to have some fun today with Paul. Yes, talking about what's going on. So as you know, we went for 2 weeks. We just put up some blasts from the past when we did our radio show with Unity Online Radio. We gave people a treat with that. But now we're back live. And Paul, we just want to hear, I know the listeners all want to hear how you're doing and what's going on.
Okay. I did fall in the middle of the night and broke my left hip, which through a series of appointments and stuff and emergency room and urgent care, it was decided that I would have a total left hip replacement because in addition to the fracture of the head of my left femur, there was also evidence of arthritis in that hip, which I had been experiencing for a few years. So instead of doing a partial hip replacement, we did a full hip replacement. And as of today, actually, it is exactly 2 weeks from when the surgery happened. And so I've been bumbling and stumbling through rehab, learning things about myself and learning things about spiritual practice. And so I don't know where to go from there. So Bill, Cher, and I have had a long conversation. We figured it'd be better to do this as an interview format.
We did. And one of the things that's so interesting is anytime you go through this kind of an experience, you discover that your independence is really challenged when you're used to doing things on your own. And so asking for help becomes critical. And for a lot of us, that's very difficult. So just a little peek into how that has felt for you, because we know how independent you are. How's it been? And what insights have you had related to that?
Okay, so this is really important because this is where I had a sort of an aha around asking for help. And also, I just want to give a tip to people. So I live alone. I don't have a partner. I don't have a husband. I don't have a wife. I don't live with family member. I live alone. If you live alone, you ought to be thinking ahead of if something does happen, of who you can call on. And have that arranged with them ahead of time. And so I have had to ask for help. And my friends had me framed as Paul doesn't ask for help because he's a stubborn German and he wants to take care of himself and all of this. And he doesn't want people to think of as being helpless and all of that. And as it turns out, that is not what's really going on inside of me. And I never bothered to challenge people with that. It's just, you know, okay, you know, I don't know. I ask for help when I really need help. What I discovered is that a primary reason why I don't ask for help is a fear of being turned down. And if I'm turned down, that means I'm not important enough. I'm not enough. I don't matter in some way. It's just, so this is another layer that I've discovered about a core belief that I'm not enough. And I've done a lot of work on it, friends. This is an aspect I had never tied into it. And so I've let my friends know that when I ask for help, that's when I really need help. I'm never crying wolf. I need help. And to do the best they can in saying yes when they can.
I found that such an aha. I really did, because I'm not good at asking help either. And I didn't realize why, but I also hate rejection. And that was such that resonated with me so much.
Yeah, it is a form of rejection. You know, that's how it feels. And I learned that people don't ask for help, but are very willing to help other people because of this one up and one down thing that happens between the helper and the helpless. And so we don't want to think of ourselves as being helpless, but there are times, friends, when we are helpless. And and through this, the last 2 weeks, I've learned just how helpless I can be, especially when you can't bend at the waist, for example, which I can't do for another 4 weeks, is that I can't bend at the waist. And so things that need to be done below the waist, I either have to use one of those grabber things or wait till someone comes over and can help me with it. Yeah, you should have seen me the night I dropped a dish full of food.
Oh, no.
On the floor, and it was like 8 o'clock at night, and I wasn't going to call anybody, and figuring out how to gather it all up. So I got really good skilled at using the grabber things and a broom and a thing like that. So yeah.
Well, you know, folks, the Cher had mentioned about the aha she got. The aha I got was related, because my aha was more like aha, more like I'm a philosopher, so I'm a question to thinking. And to ruminating and to an inclination toward philosophizing. So my aha was more like a lot of folks, when they look at the three of us, those who know us, think that in terms of our skin school experience, our human experience, the three of us wear a sort of Kevlar vest of protection. Nothing can happen to us.
Yeah.
And that's not true, because while we're spiritual beings having a human experience, we are having a skin school experience.
I'm certainly having quite a time, right? And the laws of gravity aren't suspended because we're metaphysicians and all of that. And this is another good point to remember, that what metaphysics is mostly about is about consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how do we handle the crap that's happened in our lives? And in this case, falling in the middle of the night and breaking my hip, actually technically breaking my left femur. And then how do we handle it from there?
And what's interesting then, now that you brought that up, is let's help our listeners get a handle on, because there is crap and you fall into it, what is the impact, or what has the impact been on your spiritual practices going through this?
Okay, so this was a bit of a shocker to me. So because I came out of surgery in an anesthetic stupor, and because I've been on intermittent oxycodone, and because there has been pain in that joint, I found that I could not sit for my daily spiritual practice. I couldn't I couldn't sit and meditate for any length of time. Many of you know, listening to this program, I couldn't tap. And even so, I maintained my equanimity. And here's what I'm assuming. Let me put it that way. So I'm going to put this in the context of a little teaching from A Course in Miracles. And I'm going to have to clean that up a bit too, anyway. But way back in the dark ages of my spiritual practice, when I was a really dyed-in-the-wool Course in Miracles student, there's a quote, and I haven't looked it up, so this is out of memory, was that if you've made it the habit to call on the Holy Spirit when you need help, in those moments you forget to call on the Holy Spirit, the help will be there. Okay. You all know we don't believe in anthropomorphic being. We don't believe that there's this entity called the Holy Spirit that helps us or anything like that. So what's going on here? Well, I've been doing meditation since 1973, almost nonstop. There were periods in my life where I let it go for a year or 2 years, but pretty much that whole time frame. And I've been teaching metaphysics pretty much full time for the last 20 years. And here's what I discovered, much like that quote. And there's another saying you hear from traditional Christians, being prayed up. Have you heard that phrase?
Yes.
Being prayed up. Well, I've been meditated up. And so I haven't been beating myself up for not getting to my spiritual practice every day. I have to tell you, I've been leaning on those years of practice that I've built up in a kind of a reserve in my system. And so I've been able to maintain my equanimity. I've been able to not slip at all into victim consciousness, which is really shocking. I haven't felt sorry for myself, but I've told some pretty sorry stories, haven't I, guys?
Just sharing the facts,
just
right?
Just sharing the facts of the problems with our medical system and continuity and communication. When something like this happens, you're with an emergency room team, and then you're shift to a trauma team, and then there's the doctor's team that was taking care of the surgery and a nursing team. I'm finding out the communication between the teams isn't so hot. So advocating for your own care is important. And like I said, at the top of this time together, find someone who can be there with you, especially when you go to doctor's appointments. So that person can be your eyes and ears and ask questions that maybe you're not able to. So that's my big learning, is that we build up a kind of spiritual resiliency. And even though I couldn't do the practice was still there supporting me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we also have a muscle memory, if you will. We like the 12 powers that we believe in so strongly and how we use those powers. You instinctively call on inner strength. You instinctively call on that dominion to move through things. And you have that because you've strengthened it and you've built it up within yourself.
That's a good point. And there was no blind faith that this was going to turn out well. There was no blind faith that God was going to intercede. What there was what Unity calls understanding faith. It's a knowing that I know that in Eric Butterworth's words, that spirit is present in its entirety at every point in space, all at the same time. So I know, and I knew at the time, that the very principles that include the 12 powers and more are right there at the point of my cells. And just like when if I cut myself, the body knows what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's an innate intelligence, and that's coming forth from the inner working between a divine discernment or divine wisdom and understanding working together. And substance is available for repair and all of that. And so I've been supporting it with my consciousness, but not in a formal prayer way, mm-hmm. more in an absolute knowing way that restoration is happening.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing for our listeners to know and to remember, because that's what it means when you think about it, to practice the presence and to live in the silence. And living in the silence is interesting, because part of what that means is that not getting caught up in the noise of outer appearances.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. And it's interesting. We actually had a chance to talk to you through texting that night, like at 11:30 that night when you were in the emergency room. And because we were talking about this program that was going to happen the next day, that didn't happen the next day. Yeah, and yes. Even then we could tell you were practicing these principles. And yeah. it's an habitual, it's what we mean when we say make your life a spiritual practice.
Yes, yes.
Your life is that practice.
And in those moments of crises, everything you've learned is right there at your fingertips, because you've mm-hmm. practiced it on the little things.
Yes.
And so there was no need for me to stop and think, well, what law am I going to use here? What principle do I want to call in play here?
Yeah.
Because it's in autopilot at yeah. some level. And so having that regular daily spiritual practice is important. Still is important. If you're not serious about your spiritual growth, then don't meditate.
There you go.
Right? But if you are serious, get mm-hmm. to it, because yeah. you never know when something like this is going to happen and that you need to call on it. So it's like, I'm leaning more into my spiritual practice now without actually practicing.
Yeah.
Like I did up to the moment.
Because it's yeah. now it's the game.
Yeah.
Not the practice anymore. Now you're in the game.
Now I'm in the game. We're not on the practice field anymore. Yeah. And by the way, we really need to address the idea, because there might be some listener thinking, well, so how did this happen to Paul? What was in his consciousness that mm-hmm. caused him to break his hip? Well, friends, the law of gravity works. And I can tell you it works really, really well, that when I was making that turn to head to the bathroom, the next thing I knew, I was on the floor. And I don't think I wasn't holding in my mind to be sick. I wasn't holding in my mind to break my hip. None of that stuff happens. Can you get over that? And then say, how am I going to handle this from this moment forward? Yep. And what I'm telling you is the last 2 weeks, I haven't really had to think into that, because it was autopilot that had taken over.
Yep. And it's not what happens to us in skin school, which is an important thing, really. It's our response to what happens to us.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we do with it? How do we use it? So the response is the internal thing. Right?
Yes. Yep.
What's my internal response? Okay. Yeah. And it would have been perfectly fine if I went into victim consciousness. I just never did. However, there's also then, so how am I going to use this event to bring about good and blessings in my life and maybe in the life of others?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's the best takeaway. Mm-hmm. For people to learn from, I think, and apply to their own lives.
Yep, I think so. So keep your spiritual practice up, friends. You want to say something, Cher?
I was just going to say, and we're so delighted that you're doing so well.
Thank you. Well, I am too, and I'm not surprised.
Oh, yep. We're not surprised either, yep. Not for a minute.
Yep, don't surprise me, none.
I'm not surprised. Okay, so we need to focus on the absolute word. And of course, the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication that has been used with permission. And friends, we just need to emphasize every once in a while how much we are grateful to Unity World Headquarters that allows me to do this.
Amen.
Okay, so this comes from Sunday, October 24th, and the word is passion. And isn't that appropriate? Because it's been my passion about metaphysics that has helped me handle what's happening right now. And so the affirmation is my purpose fuels my passion. My purpose fuels my passion. The power of zeal lies back of all passion, enthusiasm, and yes, zeal. My self-selected purpose is my why. It sets my heart aflame with passion. Passion is that extra oomph of energy I bring to everything I enjoy doing. Each day, I awaken ready to answer the desire of my heart, to give my best efforts and fullest attention to purposeful activity. I express the glory of my divinity through my humanity. When in alignment with my passion, I feel the most alive. I'm filled with energy and zeal and color the world with hope and promise. I recognize the divine presence behind everything. The life energy that radiates from me inspires others to live a life of purpose and passion, to boldly express their divinity as only they can. Again, the affirmation is, my purpose fuels my passion. So friends, in addition to your regular spiritual practice, what is your purpose? What is your why? Why are you here on the planet? Not assigned by some exterior God, but arises out of how you show up in the world. All right, friends, this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. Thank you for listening. And I'm saying goodbye to Bill and Cher.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher saying thank you for letting us express our passion through this show. Thanks for listening.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it's been our privilege to partner with you in this. And I tell our readers and our listeners to recognize that each day is your point of power to rehab what needs rehabbing.